You are the one who reveals. You are the one who guides. Because it is you alone who can reveal the truth and glorify Jesus. Your word, Lord, being a double-edged sword, had cut both the preacher and the hearer. So that, Lord, we will all bear fruit for your kingdom and for your word. And the fruit will last and endure. People of God, with our hearts open before the Lord, I want you to stand up if you can, all of us. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Ask the Lord today to speak to you. He's the one who has promised us that if we will wait upon Him, He shall renew us kind like a eagle and help us to mount up and fly and soar on high for His kingdom and glory.
Amen.
give you the glory and the honor. And we promise you all the glory. Not unto us. Not unto us, but to thy name alone, we all the glory. Knowing that, Lord, your word is enough to touch us and revive us and set us free. Give us hope and faith and release us. The word from heaven is all that we ask today. Therefore, rend the heavens and come down, O God, into our midst. Rend the heavens and come down into our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sit very softly in the places.
Egypt, Moses, and he's telling Moses, bring my people up. When Moses goes there, the Lord works mightily through him, and the Lord is bringing the people out under the hand of Moses. There was for four reasons that God brought them up. When Moses went forth there, the first reason that God brought them out was to worship him. The second reason that God brought the people out of Egypt was to celebrate a festival. The Bible speaks about seven kinds of festivals in the Bible. Including the festival of the Passover, the festival of the first fruits and all that. Festival. The third thing was to sacrifice and offer a sacrifice unto God. The fourth thing was to serve him. God redeems your life and brings your life out of prison, out of captivity, out of bondage, out of sickness, out of trouble, out of poverty. Why? Well, first and foremost, the reason is to worship him. Second is to offer unto the Lord a celebration time of festivals, offering unto the Lord a celebration of festivals. Third is to sacrifice unto him, offer a sacrifice. And the fourth is to offer unto him a very lives to serve him for his glory, to serve him. Now remember, when God brought the people of Israel out, I want to speak here today on the third one of offering a sacrifice in Exodus chapter 3 and verses 18. The third chapter of Exodus and the 18th verse, you will find the word of the Lord saying there. And then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, and the elders of Israel to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of Hebrews has met with us, and now please, let us go 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Say, sacrifice to the Lord our God. Well, there were many offerings that God would tell his people to offer unto him. And one of the offerings that God would tell the people of Israel to offer unto God was an offering called the sin offering. To offer unto God a sin offering. And you remember, they would bring a lamb, they would place the hand on the lamb, and they would, all the sin and all the guilt of their life, and the very sin and the guilt of the nation of Israel, they would lay on that animal, the lamb, the innocent animal, and that innocent animal would be offered unto God as a sin offering before God. And the blood that was shed would speak for them the righteousness that God was pleased with them. But we have the Lamb of God who was ordained before the very foundation of the world, and his name is Jesus, who offered himself for us as the Lamb of God so that we might be saved from the very penalty, from the very punishment, from the very destruction of sin, if we will lay our hands upon him and believe in him. Amen?
Amen.
Remember this. Jesus became our sin offering. Now today I want to speak to you on an offering, and I want to speak to you on how we can be revived back and come back into God to fulfill the command to which God has redeemed us for. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 15 says, remember that you were a bond slave in Egypt. Remember that you were a bond slave in Egypt, and how the Lord your God redeemed you and brought you up. Remember that you were a bond slave in Egypt, and how the Lord your God redeemed you and brought you up. If you will always remember that, there will only be hallelujahs and thanksgiving and praises unto the Lord for the rest of your life. How the Lord your God redeemed you, saved you from Egypt. Remember that. Now remember, they were redeemed for a purpose. I told you, fourfold purpose for which they were redeemed and brought up. It is true that when they came out, God said unto them, take forth the gold that is there, the silver that is there, plunder the Egyptians and then bring along. Hallelujah. You have been held enough and more years in captivity. Now when you come out, take all the wealth that they have been having, because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Amen. Now God provided them with gifts and all that, but the very intention and for the very purpose for which you redeemed was fourfold. Say that with me one more time. The first one. To worship him. The second one. The third one. And the fourth one. To serve him. And the sin offering, with Jesus being the lamb offering. Remember, what is your attitude towards sin? Let's deal with that before we come to know whether we are on the right track. What is your attitude towards sin? You remember, now there's many a scripture and this is very prophetic. Many a thing in this is very prophetic, and I want you to listen with your spirit so that you can understand. Amen?
Amen.
What is your attitude towards sin? You remember when the first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, God first came to Adam. God didn't come to Eve, even though Eve was the one who ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and brought it to Adam. God first came to Adam and asked, Adam, where are you? You remember that? And Adam said, when I heard your voice, I went and hid. God is asking, what have you done? And immediately he says, the woman that you gave me, well, she is the one actually to blame. Well, what is your attitude when you commit a sin? If you want Jesus to be a sin offering and come before him and be righteous before God to receive the rest of the blessing, are you in the habit of just blaming someone? Some people have no one to blame and they blame the devil. You remember? The woman that you gave me, finally, it is your problem, oh God. It is you who did all of this. This woman. And then coming into Eve. Eve, what have you done? And Eve very nicely puts it across to the devil, Satan. The devil deceived me. The devil tricked me. And when God speaks to Satan, what is Satan's intention all about it? I mean, he's got no one else to blame. But remember, God is putting forth a couple of curses, and the first curse that he put forth, the third chapter, 14, it was to the serpent, and this was the curse, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. Of your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Say dust.
Dust.
You shall eat dust for the rest of your life. That's what the curse was upon the serpent. Then we remember, then God went on to say how the Redeemer would come forth out of the woman and would crush the head of the serpent. You remember? The same thing. And then goes on to say, under the 70th verse, God said unto Adam, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of which you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. And this was the curse upon Adam. Serpent shall eat of the dust. And to Adam, God said, you shall till the soil from which you were taken. Remember this, there is a say that the devil cannot stay in Karanya Manna. I mean, will not eat Karanya Manna. Are you with me? Cannot eat Karanya Manna. I do not know what you say for that in English. Okay. What God is saying is very prophetic. He's saying if you will bring your body, your flesh under the discipline of the Holy Spirit, the devil will not be able to touch it. Otherwise, he will touch it. Are you with me? How many of you understand what I said? If you shall bring it under the discipline of the Holy Spirit, the enemy won't be able to touch it. If you will tell the very flesh and bring it under. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, after having preached to others, I myself should not be disqualified, so I discipline my body, the very flesh, that it might not be taken control by the enemy. Now remember this. What was the attitude of Cain and Abel when they sinned? I mean, when Cain sinned, not Abel. When Cain sinned, the attitude was that of a lie. When God came and said unto him, Cain, what have you done? He said, what did he say? Genesis 4 and verse 9. This is what he said. I do not know. Where is your brother Abel? I do not know. What have you done? Have you found people like that? Their attitude, very attitude towards sin. Either they blame someone, they blame situations, they blame the devil, or whatever. Finally comes to, I do not know. Why things are happening in my life, why things are going not the way that I want it to go. When it came to Achan, what was his attitude? He hid his sin in his tent. In Joshua chapter 7, he hid his sin in the tent. But remember this. He hid his sin under the tent, but God said unto the needle to Joshua and said, he's hiding it. Unless he exposes it and brings it out, the entire nation is going to be punished. Are you with me? Remember this. Your very attitude is what matters. If you want Jesus to be the sin offering, and if you want to lay your hands upon him, remember the Bible says in 1 John 1 and verse 5, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen? From all sin. But you be faithful to confess. Confess means to acknowledge. That's all God wants. He knows the sin. You confess not to let him know. Are you with me? It is not that he didn't know and he said, oh, he did that. It's not that at all. He says, are you willing to take responsibility for your life? Well, that's the key to revival today. Are you willing to take responsibility for your life? And if you're willing to take responsibility, then acknowledge your sin. Don't hide it. Don't blame it on someone. Don't hide it behind religion. Don't hide it behind spirituality. Confess it for. Get life right straight with God. Let Jesus be the sin offering. And then you have freedom. Amen?
Amen.
Now remember this. Most of this is prophetic, but how was the attitude of David when he sinned? Well, he committed three major sins. Some people say two. He committed three major sins. One was that he committed adultery with Bathsheba. The second was that he murdered Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, after committing adultery. But the sin that led to both of them was the sin that the Bible says when Israel went out for the battle, David being the king, he was staying in his rooftop. The king is supposed to be in charge and he's supposed to lead the battle. Are you with me? Because he stayed away, he fell into temptation. Remember this, when you are not in the service of the Lord, when you are not in the work of the Lord, it is daily. There was, I think it was to that man of God whom I share with you, Julius, name is Billy Sunday, the greatest of evangelists, when he got saved, the man of God who led him to Christ said one thing, and this is what he said: Billy, if you do not want this word backslider to be written by the side of your name, this is what you have to do. Every day make sure that you spend 15 minutes in the presence of the Lord, 15 minutes in the Word of God, and 15 minutes at least serving the kingdom of Christ by witnessing about the gospel of Jesus to someone. You do that, and you will never backslide. And so Billy Sunday, for the rest of his life, he would get up. The first 15 minutes he would offer to the Lord in sacrifice, his very life, and read the Word before he read anything else, any newspaper, any book. Before he read anything else, he would offer to the Lord his life and read the Word. Then he would make sure that he had witnessed. He would spend major time in prayer, but the first 15 minutes of the day was in worship and in the Word. And then the rest of the time you would spend again. Later on you would come and spend solid hours in the presence of the Lord. But remember, if you will start off with that, you will never have this word backslide or return. The very word for which God called David, he stepped out of there. And he fell with the rest of the sins. You remember in Proverbs 22 and verse 14, if I am right, it says, it is the man who is cursed who will fall into adultery. It's a powerful word. The man who is cursed, who is not right with God, who is already walking under a curse. Are you with me? So, when you begin to see your life and you begin to see, Lord, am I in a curse because I am not honoring you? 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 22 says, let not the one who does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. Well, that's the stone to which everybody else falls. That's the stone which everybody else slips down and falls. When you do not love the Lord, that is the beginning of every other sin. You only come under a curse when you do not love the Lord. Are you with me today?
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Now, what was David's attitude towards the sin? He committed these three major sins. But remember, he came out free. Why? Because of something that was there in his attitude towards the sin that he committed. When Prophet Nathan came and exposed the sin and said, you have sinned. What did David do? Psalm 51. This is exciting. Psalm 51, we know that psalm, but there are a couple of scriptures which I'm going to take it as a prophetic word, and I pray the Holy Spirit will help you through. Psalm 51. The Bible says the 51st psalm, and read with me the 18th verse. The 17th verse, pardon me. The sacrifice of God and a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. And then the 18th verse, do good in your good pleasure to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. In other words, David is repenting and crying out. And then he's saying, do good in your good pleasure to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. What does Zion and Jerusalem stand for? What does Zion and Jerusalem stand for? Well, in simple words, it stands for the New Testament church. It stands for the body of Christ, the very bride of Christ. And what is the church? Or who is the church? I would dare say, what is the church? I would say, who is the church? Pardon me for that. Who is the church? Who is the church?
You and me.
Come on, who is the church? Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
When do you become the church? Well, when you are abiding in Christ, then you are the church. When you are in Christ, you are the church. So when we read that passage, how should you read it? Do good in your good pleasure to? Yes? You say, me, myself. Do good in your good pleasure to? Rajesh. Do good in your good pleasure to? Leah. Yes? You make it personal if you know you are the church, you say? Do good in your good pleasure too.
Yes.
That's right. Anybody else wants to do? Do good in your good pleasure too. Hallelujah. Well, understand this. It is very important that you understand this. Remember this. Why did he say, do good in your good pleasure to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem? That is the word that I want to highlight. It is because he fell in sin and the very walls of Jerusalem or his life had broken down. You step into every other sin and get into bondage. Remember this, when the very walls of your life are broken down. Are you with me?
Yes.
When the very walls of your life are broken down. So David is repenting, he's coming back and saying, Lord, do good to me. And build up the walls once again, it's broken down. I've been prayerless. The walls of prayerlessness have crept in. There is no prayer, nothing. And the walls have broken down, oh God. Now build it back again. There is no time that I spend in your presence. So build it back again. The walls have broken up. You know the word? Walls. In the scriptures, when you will look, but three times the walls are mentioned in the scripture and three times it's got three different meanings. And if you will understand those words, walls, you will understand what were the walls that have broken down in David's life. Isaiah 26 and verse 1. The 26th chapter of Isaiah. And verse 1 says, we have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls. Say salvation.
Salvation.
Well, that's the first kind of wall. Salvation. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Salvation is the first wall that was broken down in David's life. Are you with me? And what happens when salvation is broken down? If you will check with me to Isaiah chapter 60. And the 18th verse. And this is the word that says, violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders. And you shall call your walls what? Salvation. And your gates?
Praise.
You shall call your walls what?
Salvation.
And your gates?
Praise.
Remember this, salvation and praise goes together. When the walls of salvation are broken down in your life, there is no praise that will come out of you. And somebody who is the worship leader will have to come and say, praise Jesus again, please praise the Lord. Will somebody lift their hands and praise the Lord? When you are saved and when you know that the wall of salvation is intact in your life, praise is automatic. But from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Nobody has to tell you, please praise. You will come and say, thank you, Lord, hallelujah, glory be to the name of Jesus. I exalt your name, I bless your name, you are great. Thank you for saving me. I shall never forget the Lord has redeemed me from the pit. He saved me from destruction, hallelujah. You will praise him. Praise and salvation goes together. Are you with me? One very truthful outward manifestation of a man who is saved is the way that praise comes out of his mouth. Otherwise, yawning will come out of your mouth. Have you seen people like that during prayer time? Come up, praise them. I've at least left 12 hours this day. Amen. The first wall is what? Salvation and praise goes together. Second one, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 22. The book of Exodus chapter 14 and the 22nd verse. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them. Say, the waters were a wall to them. On the right hand, on the left. The waters were a wall to them at Red Sea. They were coming to the Red Sea, and the waters were a wall to them. It is signifying a separation. It can be also signified as the waters of baptism, which I won't look into, I won't speak much today. But hallelujah! The waters signify separation. You remember when during Noah's time, the generation that was cursed, that was in rebellion against God, and Noah was righteous before God because Noah found grace in the eyes of God. They were separated through the floods. Are you with me? Through the waters. The ark came and brought them out. Amen? It signifies separation. Now, David lost his salvation. He lost his separation. And remember the third one, 2 chapter 2 and verse 5. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. About whom is it being spoken? About whom is it being spoken? Oh, come on. Around whom will the fire of glory come? Around Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which means you and me. Are you with me? We are people of the new Jerusalem. Are you sure of that?
Yes.
Otherwise, build up those walls. Or is the wall broken down? No. For I, as the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Well, remember, there are enemies of Jerusalem, there are enemies of the body of Christ. There is a devil that is running around scared. There is the devil that is trying to torment people who have got the entire world chained and bound, but who's got no hold over the people of God, unless they allow him to have. The wall of fire that keeps you and me is the glory of God, is the fire of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? You're burning hot. Flies don't come near fire. Amen. They will get burned up. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Remember, you're burning hot for God, there is no fly that will come near you. David lost that. He lost his zeal. He lost his passion for Christ. He lost the love for the Lord, the intensity for the gospel. Are you a person like that sitting here today? You come, you say your walls are broken down. Remember, I have news of hope for you. All that you need to do is put your attitude right with God about sin that you are in. Are you with me? If you are a backslider, you need to confess and say, I'm a backslider. You just thought, oh, I was so busy, I couldn't pray. You don't know, brother, what all I have to do. If you are a backslider, say, I'm a backslider. Lord, put me right back again. God will put you right back. If you are a person who is lukewarm, say, I'm lukewarm, God. I've lost that love for you. God will put you right back. What is the attitude? Well, David had the right attitude. So he said, Lord, here I come before you. Here I shed my tears. Put me right back. build up those walls again. So that will be sacrifice that is offered unto you. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now remember, Psalms 51. Come back to that. Oh, are we going to have a revival today?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. He said in the 10th verse, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit. I want to speak to you later on about a steadfast spirit. There are a couple of things that are speaking about the human spirit, but he wants a steadfast spirit. Are you with me? If a spirit that is dependable, God can trust again. Spirit that is faithful. Are you with me? Today, you and me, we need a faithful spirit. We need a dependable spirit. A human spirit that's been put right with God, that will honor God, that will honor the work of Christ, that will honor the body of Christ, that will be dependable. Are you with me? Lift your hand and say, I need a steadfast spirit of God.
Yes.
Help me. Amen. And he said, put a steadfast spirit within me. And do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And then he went on to say, restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. Now, do not take your Holy Spirit from him. But remember, it is the person of the Holy Spirit who convicts you of your sin, who leads you back to Christ, who takes you back into the very presence of God, who gives you boldness once again into the enter into the mercy and forgiveness and comfort of the kingdom of God. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? When he begins to come upon your life, there is first and primary one thing that you need to understand that he will do for you. You remember when Saul... Are you all listening? When Saul was anointed by Prophet Samuel, what was the reason for which the prophet took for that flask of oil, symbolic of the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, and poured it up on Saul and said, what is the reason for which he anointed Saul? Well, you would say king, but the Bible says in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 1, I have made you over a commander over my inheritance. Did you hear that?
Amen.
I've anointed you, Saul, as a commander over my inheritance. Did you find that word? Read it out loud, Julius, if you have. 1 Samuel 10, 1.
Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you, commander over his inheritance?
Oh, hallelujah. Commander! Over his inheritance. Are you with me?
Amen.
Commander, the minute the anointing oil is poured upon you, you become to realize the inheritance that you have in the Christ. Now this is something prophetic which I want to share with you. Now open to 1 Samuel. We are saying, we are in this 1 Samuel 10. If you have found it, say, I have.
Amen.
Well, Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it up on Saul and said, it is not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance, over the inheritance of God. He's made you a commander. Do you know that? And then what does Saul have to do? What does Samuel say to him? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Selza. You will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Selza. You will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin of Selza, at Selza. The two men speaks about your old nature and your new nature. The old nature which has to be believed, and the new nature that should be on fire for God. The only thing, do you know that when you are anointed with oil, the only thing that you can receive for your old nature is salvation. No other blessings. Did you understand that? No. Only thing that you can receive for your old nature is salvation. But for your new nature, there is something more coming. There is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is an inheritance that is incorruptible that is kept for you. There is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
There is gifts and fruit of the Spirit manifesting through you.
Amen.
You are more than a conqueror in Christ. Hallelujah. Well, the anointing coming upon David, he said, Lord, restore me back to salvation. Put your steadfast spirit in me. Pour out your Holy Spirit, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Why? Lead me back to the cross. Once again, let that old nature be crucified. And once again, let me stand in the new nature. Are you with me? First thing. And then what happened? From there, they traveled on. Read with me to verse 3. Then you shall go on forward. If you have come to the cross, then you can go forward from there. Are you with me? Do you know that? You and me, as people of God, we don't have to go up Calvary. Jesus gone there up once for all. You begin from Calvary.
Amen. Yes.
You begin from a position of victory.
Yes.
When you are born, you are born to die. But when you are born again, you are born again to live eternally. Like a man of God said, I am born again not to be in defeat, but to be more than a conqueror in Christ. Are you with me? God, hallelujah, and amen. But how much of you can gather into the Spirit, put it into practice in your soul, and understand that deep within your heart, you will walk in the glory of God. Remember this. After traveling from the foot of the cross, what Saul was supposed to do was that he was supposed to go to where? Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. Say the terebinth tree of Tabor. Terebinth tree of Tabor. What is it all about? You remember in the book of Genesis, 35th chapter, when Jacob was, are you with me today?
Amen.
When Jacob was running away from Esau, his brother, he camped at a place called Bethel the first night. He named it Bethel after having an encounter with the Lord because he saw the open heaven and the glory of God come down the stairway where the angels of God were ascending and descending. You remember that? Then he went and he worked with Laban just to have Rachel, and he got Rachel and Leah and a lot of his flock. And after that, he's starting off on a journey. And when he's starting off on a journey with his wife and children and all the wealth that he has, the Bible says he came because God had, the Lord had a visitation from God. God said to him, go to Bethel when you desire to obey the Lord. He went there. And the 30th chapter and verse 4 of Genesis, you will find Jacob, after having received that word from God, he's saying, the second verse on his elbow, and Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourself and change your garments. And then the fourth verse says, so they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which they were in their hands, and all the earrings which were in the ears, and Jacob hid them there under the terebinth tree. Well, Once you start off from the cross, and once you are on your way, remember this, you need to come down to the terebinth tree and do some burying there. Are you with me? What is the idol that you're still carrying with you? What is the idol that you're still carrying with you? How many of you are enjoying the word today? What is the idol that you're carrying with you? What is this gold and this earring that you have? What is it that you're treasuring more than the Lord? Well, bury it right there. Are you with me? Is it your clinic, my dear Mojesh? Bury it right there. Put it out of your heart and say, the terebinth tree, I love the terebinth tree, I love the terebinth tree. And bury it right there. Are you with me? Is it joy, Chetan Sopna? Don't do anything drastic. Hallelujah. Love the Lord more than you. You want to have a revival today, amen?
Amen.
You come to the terebinth tree and you make sure the earrings are there, the gold is there, the silver is there, all that you treasure more. You make sure it's buried. That's what God said in the soul. You start from the foot of the cross, go right down. And there you will find the terebinth tree. And just like Jacob did, do something for your own life. Don't treasure anything more than Jesus. Come back to that reconsecration. Come back to that reconsecration. Are you with me? Remember this. God creates and also He recreates. God creates a plan for your life, a vision for your life, a work for your life, and somewhere on the line you have dropped out of God's plan by going your way, or Satan has stolen something from you. Don't worry, God will recreate you back.
Amen.
Yes.
He won't allow the devil to have the last laugh. Amen. He is the one who is coming back in great glory.
Amen.
Yes.
He recreates. So what God said unto Jacob was, read with me. Once you come to the terebinth tree, then what happens? From there, 1 Samuel 10. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 10. There, three men going up to God's Bethel will meet you. Three men. Three people. Well, I would believe it is prophetically symbolical of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are you with me? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are you still having the Lord in front of you? If you are not, maybe chances are that you have enough things to bury. And it is after that you have a revelation of those three people. Are you with me? A revelation of those three people. Then you have a revelation of those three people. And then the Bible goes on to say, the fourth verse, they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread. Say two loaves.
Two loaves.
Two loaves. Well, it is symbolic of the Old Testament and New Testament. Jesus said, my word, He said, I am the bread of life. The loaves of bread is symbolic of the word. Are you with me? And two loaves, God will give you revelation from the Old Testament and He will give you revelation out of the New Testament. Amen. You want to have revelation knowledge? You want to walk in the revelation knowledge of God? Hallelujah. It all starts with the revelation of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then the Word opens up and the Holy Spirit brings into your mind, into your heart, into your spirit, the revelation of all that is there in the Old Testament and New Testament.
Yes.
The Scriptures are more desirous for you than anything else. You become hungry for God. You become hungry for God. Hallelujah. Why? The Word becomes the right. Are you with me? Remember, in Acts chapter 2, you will find the word of the Lord saying, from 37 onwards, after Peter spoke that message, they were cut to heart and they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. You will find in those words, and you can read through it later because of lack of time, I go through it fast. You will find seven things that I mentioned. One is repentance. The other is to be baptized. The third thing is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The fourth thing is that be separated or be saved from this perverse generation. It speaks about a separation from the world. The fourth thing is about they met together for fellowship. They come back to a dedication of the fellowship. Then they come back to the part of the part of the apostles' doctrine and prayer. Seven things to come back to. Are you with me? Teaching and the breaking of bread, and then comes the prayer part of it. Seven things to come back to. Now remember, when you begin to understand the scriptures, you will understand you step off these seven things in your life and you're going on the wrong direction or you're traveling the wrong way. We have one destination, that is heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. Some may call it heaven, but I choose to call it home. Amen? That is our destination. The place of glory, where there are mansions bright kept for you and for me. Oh, one of these days the Lord will come to take you and me there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I hope we are all in the same neighborhood. Amen. Hallelujah. Mansions there. Well, remember this. You step out of these seven things and you're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong way. Chances are that you will suddenly find, you step out and suddenly you find you come up to a dead end. Like Pink Panther, you can say, dead end, 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 dead end. That's it, right? Yeah. Or you can see that you can go through and go into glory. Amen? What Jacob had to do was to bury the things at Telbon. What God anointed Saul with, he has to come to a place of receiving what God had for him at the cross, then go on to Telbon tree burying, meet the three people, get on to Revelation. The revelation will never outstep these things, whatever the revelation is. Are you with me? You don't have a revelation that will take you away from the trial or from the track that I outlined to you in Acts 2. Are you with me?
Yes, yes.
And now come back to 1 Samuel 10. Are you with me today? Come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with string instruments, a tambourine, a flute, a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will prophesy with them. and be turned into another man. And let me, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for the Lord God is with you. Once you have come to the revelation of the word, then starts the place where God will have you to have divine appointments with men and women of God in the gifts and the prophetic anointing. You will walk in the glory that God wants you to have in Him, and the gifts that God wants you to have in Him, and be fruitful, and walk in the way whereby God's counsel and power can flow through you, only when you have gone through those steps. Some people will try to get into the company of prophets, the first thing, and stick close to a prophet or to a man of God, the first thing, without ever sticking in that plan that outlined to you. A revelation of what the inheritance is, a revelation of burying everything in cherubim, receiving the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in their lives and walking in the glory, and the revelation of the word, Old Testament, New Testament, it is after that the company of the prophet is meaningful for you. Are you with me?
Amen.
Otherwise you will make those people your idols. But if you have this thing right in order, then hallelujah, you can move into the company of God's glorious people, and you will have power and glory coming to you. Some people start from the other way. Are you with me? I'm scared at those times. If I take someone along with me, I try to give them the word again and again, make them understand this is the path through which. Then the glory begins to manifest. Are you with me?
Yes.
Then you will begin to understand things of the anointing. Then you will yourself begin to prophesy. You will suddenly find yourself clothed in glory. How many of you would like to have all this? I want you to close your eyes for a minute. I want you to know that there is forgiveness in the blood of the Lamb. I want you to know there is a way for you today to come back to revival, to have your walls rebuilt again. God will do the building part of it. He is Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Son of the living God, and He is a carpenter who can fashion your house and build you up. He can do some polishing today if the foundation is sure. But ask Him to put that stone right in your life. Build you back. Some time today just for us to pray and reconsecrate our lives to Jesus. With all of our hearts to come back. To offer ourselves with our hearts once again. To ask God for His presence. For His glory. For that reconsecration. His grace is available to all who will ask Him today. From His fullness we have received grace upon grace. With our hearts lifted up, our eyes closed, our lives surrendered back to the Lord. Meaningfully from your heart, let the Holy Spirit help you today. All to Jesus, Lord. Once again, I surrender. Kneeling down or standing up or any way that you like, but consecrate your life back to the Lord. It's between you and the Lord today. Just between you and the Lord. No one else. No one else but you and Jesus.
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Lift your hand and say, oh, Jesus. Of God. May Christ Jesus be the hope of glory in you, God. And may May His glory rest upon you.
Amen.
May you be safe in His presence.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen. So may the Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sit down in the presence of the Lord. Listen, how many of you will keep strong?